It was the phone call every spouse and parent dreamt. On a Tuesday afternoon, my friend Darren answered his phone, expecting to hear his wife's voice on the other end, assuring him that they had arrived safely. Instead, what he heard was a voice of a concerned nurse urging him to rush to the hospital quickly because his 31-year-old wife, Paula, and their 10-month-old son, Micah, were in a car accident. Earlier that day, Paula and Micah were on their way to visit Paula's parents. Moments before arriving, as she was waiting her turn at a four-way stop sign, a dump truck struck from behind. By nothing short of a miracle, Micah survived the accident with minor bruises, but Paula sustained a severe injury because of the impact. Shortly after Darren got to the hospital, a nurse handed him her wedding rings and Paula's personal effects that she gathered before they rushed Paula for an emergency surgery in an attempt to save her life. Darren stood outside of the operating room holding his little Micah in his arms, wearing Paula's wedding rings on his pinky, and he prayed desperately for God to save his wife. The next day, Paula died. Where is God? The one who sits enthroned on high, whose glory is above the heavens. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Later, Darren writes this on his blog. Life has changed irrevocably. There is nothing that can be done to change what has happened. I lament the life that will never be. What will it be now? I do not know. The uncertainty scares me tremendously. Some of you here today know what it's like for life to change irrevocably. You know the feeling of being utterly and completely disoriented because of a sudden, unimaginable turn of events. One moment, you're in full control of your life and it's going exactly where you want it to go, and the next moment, it spins out of control. And there is nothing that you can do to change it. And all of a sudden, you have no idea where to go or who you are. And the uncertainty of the future brings within you a deep fear that you never thought you were capable of. Life changes irrevocably when your marriage dies, or your dream for a child dies. Life changes irrevocably when the word cancer becomes part of your daily vocabulary. Life changes irrevocably when your best friend is paralyzed at a skiing accident at age 17. And no matter what you did or tried to do, you seem stuck in this nightmare that everybody keeps referring to as the new normal. And there was no one, nobody to wake you up from it. And in those long, sleepless, agonizing nights, you hear a whisper of a mocking voice echoing, "Where is God, the one enthroned on high, whose glory is above the heavens? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord!" I hear the words of Psalm 113. And a stubborn resistance rises within me and screams, "I do not want to praise this God. I do not want to praise a God who's enthroned on high, who saves up his glory to the heavens where they least need it." I do not want to praise a God who veils his glory above a heaven when heaven most of the time seems to me like a blue and white painted wall that I can't see through or past. I do not want to praise this God. But the psalmist reminds me that I don't have to. Because the God that he's calling us to praise, yes, he is enthroned on high, and yes, his glories are above heaven, but he's also the God who stoops down. Have you ever seen a statue of a stooping God? Not in all the ancient gods of Greece, or Egypt, or China, or Japan, or the tribal African gods, or the gods of the Amazon. Not one of them would you find stooping. You find them standing tall and proud, and the greater, the more powerful the god is, the taller they stand. You won't find a statue of a stooping god because stooping is an inappropriate posture for a god. There is no glory in stooping. And yet, our God stoops down to look on heaven and the earth. Our God stoops down to look past the high and mighty among us, and his eyes rest on the poor and the needy, those whom others would rather look past and through. His eyes rest on them, and he raises them from the dust, and he lifts them from the ash heap, and he seats them with princes of their people. Who is like the Lord our God? The one who is enthroned on high and whose glory is above the heavens. Our God stoops down to look at the barren woman, the one who feels unsettled in any home, with her constant agonizing of having made a home for children and not having been given any. His eyes rest on her, and he settles her in her home as a happy mother of children. Who is like the Lord our God? The one who is enthroned on high, whose glory is above heavens, and he stoops down. I can praise this God. I want to praise this God. But the facts still remain. Not all the needy have been lifted. Do you know some poor people? Do you know childless parents who get knocked down by one miscarriage after the next? The facts still remain. Paula is dead and Micah is an orphan. How about you? What facts still remain for you? Some of you have been in the dust for so long that you can't imagine what it would be like for your spirit to be refreshed again. You've been in the dust for so long that you can't imagine what it would be like for that once fiery dream for a thriving ministry to come back and replace the heap of tasks for maintenance. Some of you are drowning in the ash and you long for this invisible wall that surrounds your church to lift so you can love them again. Some of you are part of the suffering church and you dream of the day when you can freely proclaim the gospel without having to measure and calculate every word you speak from the pulpit, lest the spies in your church hand you in. Where in your life are you feeling the dust on your skin and smelling the ashes in your nostrils? The facts still remain. The needy and the poor are still with us. We are the poor and needy. And yet you still wait on the Lord. And yet you still cling to His promises. And it's in that mystery of waiting and clinging that somehow the Holy Spirit transforms our stubborn resistance into a stubborn praise, come what may. And He puts a new song in our mouth. One year after Paula died, and on the first Easter Darren had to spend as a single dad, without his wife, he wrote this on his blog. Life right now feels like Easter Saturday, that in-between time between Christ's death on Good Friday and His resurrection on Easter Sunday. I am still in sorrow over Paula's death, bewildered and struggling to understand, much as Jesus' disciples must have been after His death. However, unlike the disciples on that Saturday, I know how the story goes. I know that Easter morning lies around the corner. I know that Christ has defeated death and that all things wait to be fully renewed. We know how the story goes. And even when our praises stick in our throats, our hope in the resurrection is real and substantial. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. The God whose glory was once veiled above the heavens has dwelt among us in flesh, has dwelt in dust and ashes, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of truth and grace. And that same God, who's familiar with the pain of every aching heart, he will return to wipe away every tear. He will return and cause all the things that have worked against us so far to work together for our praise. And yes, on that day, he will seat us, the poor and needy, as princes and princesses with his people, children of a king. For this is the purpose of God in creation. All shall be changed, for the gospel is true. Sickness to health, apathy to believing, doubt to commitment, old into new. It is this God whom we, the servants of the Lord, who we call on people to praise him. We who preach and sing and cry out to increase his praises. It is this God whom we must remind ourselves never to lose sight of. It is this God who is worthy of our praise. And until that day, until the day when all of those promises are fulfilled, he is determined that nothing will separate us from him. Even when we lose our grip, he will not lose his grip on us or his plans for us. For neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither depth nor height, nor anything in all of creation can separate us from the love of God poured out in Jesus Christ our Lord. So praise him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.